close your eyes and count to ten. Try now to remember when you had money to play with and friends you could stay with.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and sitting in my tiny West Town apartment is Matt Barron. Say something, sir.
Hello, Brandon.
Did I say your name correctly?
You
Matt
did.
Barron?
Correct.
How was it growing up with a last name like Barron? What nationality are you?
That's a good question. I'm not even entirely sure. But it was easy. People could pronounce it, and it wasn't blatantly obvious that I'm Jewish by my last name.
You're Jewish. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Skokie.
There you go.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know, Skokie is probably the most Jewish of the suburbs.
Well, it's not technically a suburb, I guess.
Well, it's its own
city. It's
not
in the city, but the suburbs really begin north of Skokie, the North Shore area.
You're just saying that because you had a yellow line, so you can get in and out of shows.
Exactly.
So you're from Chicago.
Yes, was born here.
And that's not the reason why you're on the show. You're on the show because you do, according to Time Out Chicago, which just happened today, one of the top five music websites. But it's actually not just a music website. It's this awesome series that you do called Coach House Sounds.
Yes, Coach House Sounds.
How would you describe Coach House Sounds to people who have no idea what we're talking about?
Sure. If people are familiar with music, the knee-jerk reaction is to say it's sort of like Daytrotter, but in Chicago.
Okay, for those of you that don't know, Daytrotter is...
Daytrotter, well, let's talk about Coach House Sounds.
There you go.
We record bands live to analog tape in a rehearsal space near Shuba's, which is a amazing...
It's a really good venue in Chicago, in Lakeview.
Amazing venue in Lakeview, like you said. And basically, bands come in for a little over an hour and record a live session to tape, and then we post the recordings, photos from the session, band information on our website, which serves as a unique promotional tool for these bands to use in between albums to promote shows with. And along the way, we've accumulated a wonderful archive of disparate sounding bands.
You said that like you were charging bands, but you don't charge bands.
No money exchanges hands. Basically, we find bands that we feel are doing something unique, something different that we'd feel proud to showcase on our site, and there's no money exchanges hands. We're doing it for the love of the game at this point still, and we don't intend on charging bands to ever for coming into sessions that we're going to post. So.
Let's start about the ideals and then go back to the practical stuff. What made you want to start this?
Sure. Well, I have a rehearsal space, and my bands were rehearsing there, and I read an article about another website called Daytrotter as I was eating lunch, and the idea popped in my head that I have a studio rehearsal space just a couple blocks from Shuba's. Mm-hmm. We can easily do this in Chicago. It's a great town for a diverse mix of music, and that was in February 2008. And
so a little over 2 years, or almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years ago, and we had our first band in on November something of 08.
Who was your first band?
Our first band is called Animal City, and they're still one of my favorite sessions and also one of my favorite local bands in Chicago. And the site didn't go up until August of 09, so we've been taking our time and building content, and had our first release to the public, I guess, a release show at the Whistler in early November of 09. So things have grown pretty rapidly as far as our exposure in the past few months.
Why did you wait till the site was up in order to, because you have a Blogger account, you know, why not just post it there?
Because I'm sort of tired of bloggy websites and the aesthetic of them, and that's what I told my guys who designed the site, is that I didn't want to do anything that looked like it was blatantly done with WordPress or on a Mac account. No scrolling up and down on the page. Just make it all about the band and their session, all on one page. Very easy to find the photos, the recordings, and again, links to their labels or their MySpace pages. But definitely didn't want to make it have a white background with shiny blue and pinks.
And you just described our website. So you've been doing this for a little over, like, I don't know. You've thought about it. You've had the idea for almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while to get the site up. What's next? Now you're booking shows.
We are booking shows. We just presented two sold out shows at Shuba's with Brighton MA, and we are in talks with a couple other venues about presenting shows with them, which basically means we'll record a band and then release the session in conjunction with that show's promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So if a band's in between albums, for example, and they need something new to promote or something new to send their fans, that's what we're here for in one respect. And then we also have our own shows where we showcase bands that have come through the Coach House. We're doing our second event at the Whistler on Tuesday, February 16th.
For those of you that don't know, the Whistler is this really, really neat bar in Logan Square. It's about a year and a half old, maybe two. And it's really, really tiny, but they make really good drinks, and they have shows. And the place is not much bigger than my apartment. And
barely.
The size is kind of important to mention because that is the definition of an intimate show.
It's an intimate show. They do not charge cover, and everybody who passes through those doors really loves the
venue. Yeah, there's a reason why they're packed every single night. So do you want to own a venue?
That's a good question. My wife, Jacqueline, and I, actually, before Coach House Sounds was even a twinkle in my eye, we talked about opening up a venue, and then the idea sort of fell flat, and I hadn't really thought about it much until you just brought it up. I was a waiter for many years, and I always wanted to open up a restaurant that had music in there, so maybe one day, but again, that's...
Not in the plans right now.
Right, right. Food and music, you know, that's...
So you're a food man.
I like to eat.
What is your favorite cuisine?
Lately, it's Lebanese food at Al Kaime up in Albany Park.
You sound extremely urban right now.
It's probably my favorite restaurant, and I think it's number 37 on stuff white people like.
How did you stumble upon Lebanese food?
My guitar teacher.
So you took guitar lessons?
I still take guitar lessons.
And you're in a band?
Yes.
Let's talk about the band for a second. What's the band name? It's Baron Von Something?
Baron Von Something.
Here's the most annoying question to musicians. What do you sound like?
Yeah, that's
tough. And if you say you don't know, you're full of shit.
No.
Everyone knows who they sound like.
We brought in a female vocalist to work on some songs, and she said the guitar parts reminded her of Doves a little bit.
That's great. The Doves are one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
Last Broadcast is one of my favorite albums of the aughts.
Me too. I listen to that thing every day for a long time. And so it's a little... I have a lower register in my voice, so I like to think that the vocals sound a little bit like The National, just not as... Johnny Cash-y,
okay.
Not as deep, but
okay.
It's kind of got that sort of thing going. People might be laughing who've heard the band at the comparison.
See, I'm laughing because I don't like The National.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like The National. They're
not a big fan.
They're a very divisive.
You know what,
band.
Though? They're one of those bands where I have all the records, but I think I've heard all of them twice, and they never really did anything for me. And I walked past a coworker who had the live album on, and I loved it.
Yeah.
So maybe I just heard the wrong things, and I'm not trying to insult you.
No, not at all. They're definitely the type of band that they draw a line in the sand. Usually people either love them or they just don't get what the appeal is.
Completely.
So
how long have you been taking guitar lessons?
I started playing guitar when I was 6. And
how old are you now?
I'm 27.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. Yeah, I wanted to learn more. I never really practiced a lot as a kid, and I stopped taking lessons in high school, and I found a local musician to be my teacher who has been in touring bands and still continues to be in touring bands, and I was seeking a mentor as well as just a guitar teacher, someone who can kind of guide me.
So you obviously like
band.
This gentleman.
Yes.
What bands is he in? Anything that people would know?
Yes, he's in the Occidental Brothers right
okay.
now. He used to be in the Zinks and the Ancient Greeks.
Okay,
and he's helping.
Don't look at my notes,
me.
Sir.
He's helping to guide me through the process of forming Baron Von Something because we just got together in July. So he suggested we get a press photo. We shot a press photo with Barry Phipps last week, who is he runs a local label called Tight Ship Records.
Okay.
They're amazing, and yeah. He's been a good mentor for me as far as steering the band in addition to working on Coach House Sounds.
So you're glad you have a teacher. Do you think you actually need one, though? Or is it more like the mentor thing? Does it force you to play more?
It forces me to play more, and yeah, I definitely need one because it's incredible. Each week I show up, and there's something else I want to learn, you know, right-hand technique or teaching me African songs that I never would have played in a million years. So yeah, I enjoy the lessons a lot, even though I probably technically don't need them if I don't want to get any better.
But yeah.
I'm not one to just kind of woodshed by myself. So.
So how do you write songs? What's the process?
I just saw It Might Get Loud.
I just rented that tonight. I'm going to watch that later this evening.
And they asked Jimmy Page that question.
Do you write the lyrics too?
I do.
Okay, then we should not talk about Jimmy Page. It's totally different.
The process is very off the cuff. Strumming mindlessly and liking a part that I've written, and then usually writing lyrics within 2 to 3 days of either A, the recording, mm-hmm. or B, the performance. Like, we had a gig at Shuba's at the end of the summer, and the band had just gotten together. We formed the band to play this gig. I got asked to play a show there finished writing lyrics for 3 of the songs the day before the show, and I used lyric sheets up on stage, which I still don't know those lyrics that well, but that's sort of how it works.
No, I could completely relate. We had a show on Sunday, and the band itself has 7 songs, but one we didn't want to play, so that was 6 songs, and one we couldn't play, so that's 5 songs. So then I was working on a riff on Thursday, and I told my friends if they came. They all played D&D. I told them if they quit the D&D game early, if all 6 of them showed up, I'd write a song about D&D and play it for them. So I did that. I have no idea what I sang or played.
Sort of like a Coheed and Cambria thing?
Except with no musical skill whatsoever. I'm saying I have no musical skill whatsoever.
Sure.
When bands come in to Coach House that aren't very good, do you get upset? Because you know how to play, like, circles around them? Or does it matter?
It's never happened, and I'm not a real flashy guitar player by any means. I don't play solos or Van Halen riffs or anything like that. So technically speaking, I don't usually judge the other musicians in that regard. But they're all great. I mean, we get to pretty much hand-select who comes in, and bands start to reach out to me occasionally, which is nice, And every band that we've had in really has been excellent.
Here's a question that's kind of a two-parter and kind of unrelated and related. If you could tour with 3 bands today with Baron Von Something, who would you tour with? And then if you could have 3 bands come in and play Coach House, who would those 3 bands be?
Sure. 3 bands to tour with, I'd have to say The National, just because they're huge and they would take me all over the world. People are going to cringe, I'm sure, or people are going to say yay, but I'd have to say Wilco because, again, they're just...
they're good.
They're a very great band.
And
the exposure that my band would get would be amazing. Okay. And they seem, like, pretty laid back, and I'm not a huge party animal, so they would be probably... At least a couple of the guys might be all right to be around and not throwing me into the fire. And then... maybe Arcade Fire, because David Byrne and David Bowie and Jay-Z and all those other guys show up to their shows.
Why not just open up for David Byrne, Jay-Z, and David Bowie?
Because other than David Byrne, those guys, well, I guess Jay-Z tours, but I don't think our audience...
Bowie tour? Who cares about audience, man?
I don't think our audiences would mesh. Well, I'd love to sell records.
You want to sell records?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a dying...
Do you think it's ironic saying I want to sell records and you don't charge any of the bands in Coach House and you give all your stuff away for free?
Well... It is a little bit ironic, but we're not taking the place of a record label by any means.
You kind of are. I know that you don't you probably don't think of it this way, but you're providing a band with a recording, and you're giving it to people for free.
And they can definitely use the recordings. We encourage them to.
So how is
create a piece of that?
So you're like, besides being evil, how are you not a record label?
Well, we're not a record label because
we you also pick all the bands that come on.
That is true, and.
So how is this any different?
The bands that reach out to me, I guess I can be somewhat selective with.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have any physical copies of what we make. We don't have any inventory. We don't have anybody who's going to sell a ton of records
at
this point.
You don't know that.
No, not yet. But you know what? We're getting bands on K Records and bands on Polyvinyl, and we're sort of veering into some.
Those are, for those of you that don't know, those are two respectable, really respectable indie labels, kind of different genres mostly, but very respectable indie labels that have been around for quite a long time.
Yeah,
now.
Calvin Johnson, and I don't know the person from Polyvinyl.
They're in Champaign, right?
I
know they're in Illinois.
So.
Yeah, but they're downstate.
So.
Okay,
but Joan of Arc is on there, and they would be a band that, you know, I'd love to play.
Top three. What's the three realistic bands that could come into Coach
House?
Sure,
realistically in Chicago, I'll say, because we
or touring.
Okay, well,
someone that would play Shubas, pretty much.
See, I guess realistically, the three bands I'd like to have over most right now would be Disappears, Joan of Arc, and Ken Vandermark.
Okay, those are those all have the same ideas behind them, but they completely different.
Yeah, and that's what that's why our site is different than Daytrotter or other. Sites that do live sessions, because we don't focus only on guitar based or pitchfork centric rock.
Yeah, though you did mention a band that played pitchfork. Two bands that played pitchfork.
Sure, sure. I mean, pitchfork is definitely a huge influence, and it makes me happy that we have a band like Lakin on K Records, and to see them get a very high rating on their newest album on Pitchfork, because that shows me that we're doing well as far as curating our bands, because they definitely are tastemakers, and we'd like to be a resource where people can go to trust and learn about new bands and new music, and I think Pitchfork obviously has paved the way for every other music site, in my opinion.
Okay.
In the past, you know, at least 5 years.
Does doing this, doing the Coach House Sounds, make you go out more or less, or does it matter? When I say out, I mean to shows.
Yeah, I don't go out a lot. it makes me go out less, because it was funny because a friend asked me, "Have I seen any good shows lately?" And I really had to think about it, because I'm seeing so many bands come in through our space to record sessions that my desire to go and see bands is somewhat satiated,
yeah.
And I know that we're going to be getting a very intimate performance, so it's actually a much better experience than being at a concert or being at a show a lot of the times. Smaller shows I still love to go to, like I just saw Daniel Knox at the Hungry Brain for the event that you hosted a couple weeks ago, and that was great. I saw, who else?
Well, seeing Knox at the Brain is kind of like seeing a band in your living room, though. The drinks are almost the same price. and since you're married and, like, you're not meeting... I don't want to meet anybody. If you're dating someone, it's like, what's the point? I just want to see the music. And you're seeing the music in the best possible atmosphere.
Yeah.
Use your own bathroom.
Exactly. And I still like to go out and see shows, but I was talking to, actually, Billy from Chirp today about why the Whistler is so great. And that's because they don't charge cover, so then that $10 I would use to pay for my cover, I can buy that band's record.
Exactly.
So, you know, as far as going out and see shows, I actually might go see Dave Rempus at Elastic tonight, because he's playing, he's coming in for a session at the end of February, which we're really thrilled about, because I'd like to get a lot more jazz groups in.
Not to prevent you from doing that, are you sure he's not playing the Brain this weekend?
He may be.
Because there's that festival going on right now.
He might be doing that too, but I marked it down on my calendar when I saw he was playing Elastic, so I'm 95%.
How much is that show?
Sure. Tonight?
Yeah,
Elastic?
The Elastic one?
They have a suggested donation, I think, of $7 or $10.
Okay. And the Brain's free.
The Brain is free. I'll
and
probably
you live
go
down
to both.
The street.
I do live down the street.
I have to talk up the bar. I love that bar. Okay. Where is your favorite place to see a show? I know you said you don't like to go out as much, but let's be realistic here. You're going to be at so many venues now, especially if you're booking shows.
Sure. I love Shubas, and I went to see...
Is that only because of the proximity?
That's part of it.
Or
I
is it
walk
the booking?
There.
Is it this the type of room?
The room, the booking. Honestly, I did go to Lincoln Hall, and I really liked it there. I'd like to go to more shows there. I actually bought tickets to go see Shellac and the X in March, which is the first show in a while that I've seen in the listings and immediately bought tickets for. I do like Ronnie's. I'm looking at your sign here. That's actually how I found our first band, Animal City. I saw them play Ronnie's, and I talked to the lead singer.
Ronnie's
afterwards.
Is possibly the smelliest, shittiest club in
totally.
Chicago.
And that's why it's great, because you're standing right across from the band.
It's on the floor. You play on the floor.
You play on the floor.
Nothing is mic'd except vocals.
Nothing is mic'd except vocals.
It doesn't need to be. If it was, it'd be overkill.
It's a venue. Again, people have a love-hate relationship with it.
I love it.
And the wildest thing I've ever seen at any venue was when Ronnie, he's the owner of the bar, had a bag of onions sitting by the front door, and I proceeded to watch him take an onion out of the orange netted sack,
mm-hmm.
put it on a plate, put it in a microwave, which was near the front door of the bar, zapped it in the microwave, then proceeded to eat the onion while sitting at the bar with a fork.
That's fucked up, but not surprising in the least.
Wow. That's why I like that bar. If the owner of the bar is doing things like that, you know it's got a great vibe.
I guess. Smelly as shit. I don't like that bar. Like, that's in the lower ranking of my bars to see shows at. Not because of that, but because the bathroom doesn't ever have soap.
No, and it's...
It bothers me.
Yeah, you don't want to drink a lot of fluids and be at that bar because you're going to... the bathroom is not a good experience.
It's awful.
But I love the Whistler, and it's very clean there, too, and I like that. Empty Bottle has great bands, but it's... I always end up going there for shows that are either really, really crowded or there's no one in there. It's either...
Really?
Yeah, it's odd. Either I'm way too jammed in there and uncomfortable, or I feel awkward because I'm one of seven people and I don't know where to stand. So,
how do you find out about music?
I find a lot of the bands that we do for Coach House in the Reader.
Yeah.
I look at the listings. I read what Miles Raymer and Jessica Hopper and Brian Costello and Peter Margarzek write about, because I think that they usually profile bands that that I'm interested in.
Yeah, they're all good writers too, and it's like, and Miles is in Mannequin Men, who's a great band, mm-hmm. and Jessica used to be in what's that band called? With Al Burian, and it used to be... Yeah, whatever. She was in bands, and she's great, and Brian Costello is an amazing garage rock musician. And
yeah, and he's actually... He read at our first Whistler event, and he's going
to
be
reading...
He's
got one of my favorite debut novels of all time.
Huh.
Did you ever read it?
No.
Oh, The Enchanters versus Sprawlberg Springs.
I'll have to pick it up.
It's so, so good, yeah.
Good to know. I need a new book. I just finished one.
What'd you finish?
I'm behind the times, but I just read Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, you are behind the times.
Yeah, well, I'd read Eating the Dinosaur...
See, I haven't read that one yet, and I don't think I'm missing out much.
No, you're not. And I just got a new Leonard Cohen biography called Hallelujah,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking forward to reading that. He'd be someone who I'd love to have.
Yeah, Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Might as well try. Have you asked anybody like super big like Leonard Cohen?
Yeah, I mean, I sent out messages to bands like Animal Collective, Yaysayer, who actually I've been going back and forth in emails with their manager. He's a very nice guy. They're just a band that is obviously got a jam schedule, so even making time for an hour and a half while in town is tough. But I do. I put feelers out there to bigger bands.
That's great.
Yeah.
Not trying to sound condescending. That is great.
Thanks.
I think a lot of people are scared to do anything like that.
Well, if they say no or they don't get back to me, it's
you're
fine.
You're at the same place you were, yeah.
And at least they've seen the name of my site. Like, I emailed Shushu, who I love, and I saw Bird Names open up for Shushu a couple of years ago, like 3 days after I thought of the concept for Coach House Sounds.
Yeah.
And I talked to Al, their bassist, about coming in for a session. I'm like, okay, I thought of this a couple of days ago, so hear me out. There's no site yet. And eventually, Bird Names came in for a session. But I emailed Shushu, I emailed Jamie Stewart directly, and within 5 minutes he wrote me back, and he said they weren't available to do it, but he wrote me this really nice email, and he was very kind, and we sent actually a couple emails back and forth, which was pretty cool to know that, I mean, he's a rock star, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
I guess. I mean, his new album is called Dear God, I Hate Myself, which is pretty anti-rock, you know?
Oh, bullshit. That's super rock star. I hate myself and want to die? Come on.
But, I mean... He's huge, you know, in the scheme of independent, you know, rock music. They're a huge band. And the fact that he has heard of my site now because of the email I sent him, even if he's not doing it, that's okay to me.
I can't wait until you're jaded and you're You don't care about anything anymore.
I'm very green.
It's so nice. It's not the usual thing. So what's the goal for Coach House Sounds?
I guess the goal would be to just keep doing it as long as we can, continue to get great bands in that people are excited about, to continue to make it a good experience for the band. I guess that's the one thing I can say that's been my favorite thing about the project, is that every band that's come in has had a really great time.
Yeah.
There's nothing but good things to say about their experience with us. Eventually, I'd like to promote or to curate some bigger events, and there are a few things on the horizon that I feel will continue to take us in that direction. So,
what's the goal for Baron Von Something?
The goal for Baron Von Something, realistically, would be to book.
Goal. Like long-term goal.
Long-term goal.
Is there a long-term
would be
goal?
In all honesty, it'd be to be earning my living from music. I'd like to book a 2-week tour for my band this summer.
You're so realistic. This is great. You'll be able to do all of these things.
Thank you. Yeah, it's exciting. We're going to be recording an EP with Barry Phipps.
Where are you going to record it at?
At North Branch Recording Studio.
Why don't you just record at your rehearsal?
I did that for my first album.
Not a fan?
No, it was great. It was a lot of fun. I played all the instruments on it. But this... I'd like to do something different, get us out of our comfort zone a little bit. And we're only going to be spending between 1 and 3 days in the actual studio. It's going to be mostly done live.
Okay, so EP or LP?
EP.
Okay.
And I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be... I think we'll get something different than if we... And better if we did it in the Coach House and had, someone more objective there to be our engineer than my buddy Doug.
So you want a producer or do you want an engineer? For those of you that don't know, a producer and an engineer can be synonyms, but in most cases, the engineer is just the guy that sets everything up and hits record, and the producer's like, try this.
I'd like Barry to help produce the record as well as just engineering it.
Okay.
I do want to say, though, that the Coach House Sounds is... It's an idea I came up with, and I do all the emailing and promotion, etc. But the site really belongs to Doug Linen and Neil Morrison, who do the engineering, photography, web design, and put up with my impatience and hasty decisions that the pages look great and ready to go, and then I notice an error and need them to fix it before it gets posted. So. I just wanted to mention how they're the ones who really make the site what it is.
We should also mention that people could donate.
People can donate.
Because you're not making money on
this. We're not making money on this. And that's the other thing. You'd asked about the aesthetic of the site earlier. People are like, well, why don't you get advertisers? And ideally I'd love to have one sponsor, one or two sponsors who have money. Obviously, I'd love... a very wealthy person to see the site and love what we're doing and give me $10,000 to run it for the next year or whatever. But realistically, I don't want to litter the site with advertisements, and I don't want to litter the site with frivolous blinking, lights, because I want the site to be about the band's recordings. And I feel like if we just continue to do this and not take into account how we're feasibly going to make money off it, because that has not been my intention whatsoever. If we just continue to make it something unique and do different events, etc., that I just think over time...
So that's how you're paying the bills, itself. Kind of. Maybe.
No.
The Come
bills
on,
are being
man.
the bills are being paid
out of pocket.
Out of 100%. Pocket. Yeah, all out of pocket right now, but
see, the difference between me and you is we're both spending everything out of our own pockets. We're both consistently losing money, but I am totally willing to sell out. Sign me up to the highest bidder. I will advertise tobacco sure. and alcohol. I don't care.
Maybe Camel will. You know that thing they did in the Rolling Stone magazine a couple years ago.
What'd they do?
They ran this full page or 2-page spread advertisement for Camel cigarettes, and they included all these different bands like
smoking.
I remember Devendra Banhart. Just names of bands like all over it, and none of these bands really approved to be a part of the ad. So there's all this backlash. And they were sort of leveraging the indie coolness of a lot of these bands to promote their cigarettes.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll sell out to anybody. Did you ever see Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist?
No, I haven't seen that.
That is reason enough to hate all of indie rock music.
That's why I didn't see it, because I didn't want to...
I wanted to see it because they stole the name of my favorite characters in all of film.
Nick and Nora?
From The Thin Man, yeah. The best couple of in film history. They fucking stole it, so I had to rail against the system by watching it for no reason. I don't know how. I'm just dumb.
Yeah, you know, Michael Cera...
He was delightful. The two leads in that, that's the problem. That's why it's not completely worthless, because regardless of the awful story and script, the two leads were delightful, well cast.
What bands, didn't they feature some prominent indie bands in there?
I can't. Devendra Banhart has a cameo.
Okay.
But he doesn't say, like, I'm Devendra Banhart. I'm a dick. I could afford to shave, but I choose not to.
Yeah, I just read an article about him in the New Rolling Stone, and I'm not going to say much about
it. Do you still read Rolling Stone? Do you subscribe?
It's funny. I'm like, I'm grandfathered into this subscription. I told my wife, Jacqueline, the other day, I go, last month, or they come out twice a month or whatever, it's You Idiots on the cover, and it was all about these people who are supposedly trying to help with, you know, to better the world, and they're actually all against it, like Warren Buffett and all these other heavy hitters. And this month, it's like a half-naked picture of John Mayer.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And I told my wife, I go, I need to learn about a new... You know, another music magazine that I can subscribe to.
Alarm is good.
That's Chicago magazine, right?
I think it actually is. Yeah, Alarm is good. Mojo is great.
Yeah,
Mojo's probably the best, I'd say.
Alarm is a quarterly based out of Chicago. Actually, I have a friend who interns there, and yeah, I mean, I know there's a bunch of them out there. Mojo and
Q. If you're willing to spend the British money, Q is great.
Q. We used to get NME.
Because
my wife likes Britpop, but it was odd because, like, an issue wouldn't come for, like, 2 months, and then we get, like, seven within a week. But, no, I'll take your advice on Alarm, and
it's also nice support, because, I mean, in theory, you might be working with them in 6 months anyway, so...
I'd love to. I mean, that's the thing about what we're doing, too. I'm trying to create collaborative relationships with people such as Chirp. Obviously, we've done stuff with Shubas, The Whistler.
Could I pitch you something here?
Sure.
Festival season's coming up. Have you tried to get passes anywhere yet?
No.
You need to have passes for every single festival.
How do I do that?
Contact the press people and tell them what you're doing, and just go.
Okay.
You need to do this because you have such an enthusiasm for this, and it'll only help you and them.
Okay.
Good to know. Your wish list of every single band, because every single band that's playing Lollapalooza or Pitchfork will be here for more than a night, maybe not the headliners.
Right.
And if you have enough cocaine, you could lure any of those bands. No, and I'm serious. You should do that, because there's... How many bands play Lollapalooza? 200?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm sure 50 of them would love to do it, and I'm sure you'd actually want to have 10 of them.
Right.
And you're set for a while.
Yeah, that's true. You know what, Brandon? I'm going to hopefully continue this conversation
offline
so we can figure out
we will do the business crap
do
offline. But people need to go to this website. People, you need to do a podcast. You need to do more. You're great.
Thanks.
Don't stop doing this. You're doing something that a lot of people think is really great, but you're the one actually losing money on it. And that is admirable. Okay, so let's close this interview like we close every interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD.
Wow.
I need you to pick a question from 1 to 260.
14.
14. Why 14?
It's my lucky number.
Nice. Do you think you could have too many chores? If you could assign the chores in your house, which ones would you take for yourself?
Well, I love to make the bed. I love to do the dishes. I basically do all the chores in the house out of choice.
So you don't mind chores?
No, I love chores.
That's great. Good work ethic.
Yeah, I like to do things that don't earn me money, like run the website, chores. But at the thought of actual work, take it away.
There you go. That's nice. So, okay, let's plug the band first. Baron Von Something is playing where and when?
We're playing The Dark Room on February 4th and also Cal's February 26th.
Which one could you possibly make more money? Which one are you more worried about draw?
Dark Room.
Okay, so people should go to The Dark Room on February.
February 4th. We go on at 10 o'clock.
What day is that?
That's a Thursday night.
That's an okay night for a show.
It's
good way to start the weekend.
Exactly.
And then Coach House Sounds?
Coach House Sounds. This is going to be a wonderful event. February 16th at The Whistler. Billy at The Whistler actually pointed out it's Fat Tuesday.
There you go.
So it'll be a good night to go out with local and also, I guess, international legends, Ono, experimental pioneers, local band called Moonrises with Plastic Crime Wave.
Oh, cool.
Then the Lesser Birds of Paradise.
Oh, Mark's a friend of the show. You could actually download one of Mark's podcasts where I insult myself, and he's really good.
he's excellent.
He played the brain. It's always a great show. That's a great show because if you want the quiet stuff, you have Lesser Birds. If you want the loud stuff, you got Plastic Crime Wave. If you don't want either, you don't like music. So it's wonderful. Right.
Exactly.
Go to the two-way and pretend to be sad and hip.
Right. And that's, you know, again, I try and form the bill sort of how we run the site, where it's not going to be all psych rock one night.
Yeah. So, we're different people, man. That's awesome.
Thanks for having me. This is you're doing a great job.
No. That's enough. Okay, so we're going to close with the song that was recorded at Coach House, which is Daniel Knox.
Correct. They played about 20 songs. We actually just released their part one of a session that they did with us today, and because we got so much great material from them, we'll be releasing another Daniel Knox session in a couple months. But yes, we just released Daniel Knox. You can go to coachhousesounds.com/Daniel Knox to listen to it.
He's probably the reason why we met.
Exactly.
And he's definitely my favorite Chicago songwriter / live act. So listen to him. Thanks to Matt. Go to Coach House Sounds, and have a wonderful evening.
Will certainly break down. Don't cry and don't frown. Don't throw all the dishes around. When you don't know what to do, ugly children cough on you. Don't pick them up and shake them. Children are fragile, you don't want to break them. It gets better. It gets better. Close your eyes and count to 10. Try now to remember when you had money to play with and friends you could stay with. Happy days may still return. Take the ashes from the urn. Don't be afraid to spill them. Troubles continue till somebody kills them. It gets better, dancing girls are in the chorus, dancing girls are very gorgeous, stupid and beautiful, don't they take your mind off the pain. Struck, smashing the seat just by sitting. You've got to be kidding. It gets better. It gets better.